Veritas Academy was chosen by Niche as the number one Christian and private school in Northern Virginia and third in the state of Virginia. Have coffee with the headmaster every Tuesday morning. Schedule your visit now. VeritasAcademyDC.com. VeritasAcademyDC.com.
Now, on News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
8:06 on O'Connor and Company. Thanks for joining us. Coming up at 8:35, Representative Kat Kamick is going to join us, talk about the border crisis and the baby formula crisis and how the two go together. It's Larry O'Connor alongside Julie Gunlock. Happy Monday, Julie.
Happy Monday.
You know, if you wanted to go check out what was going on at your kid's high school in Fairfax County, you would not be allowed to participate in a program they're doing over the course of the next 2 days. It's called the DOJ's School Student Problem Identification and Resolution of Issues Together program.
If that doesn't sound totally questionable.
See, it's spirit.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Fairfax County is run almost top to bottom by liberal, progressive, radical Democrats.
Yes.
So therefore, clearly, there's a lot of racism in Fairfax County.
Yes.
Because they're in charge.
That's right.
And so this apparently is supposed to be a program that identifies areas where they can inject hyper-racial justice into the curriculum or the everyday carryings on at these Fairfax high schools, including in a program that places students in, quote, separate homogenous breakout groups. In other words, racially segregate them.
Unbelievable.
But again, they specifically said that parents were not allowed to attend. Well, joining us now is one of those parents who, well, frankly, would like to attend. Considering it's her text hours, it's her child, and last I checked, parents are supposed to have some sort of transparent participation in what goes on in their school. Stacy Langton joins us now. Stacy, thank you for being here.
Good morning, Larry. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning.
First of all, have there been a rash of race problems at Fairfax High School that I'm not aware of? Usually we have our finger on the pulse of these things. Is there like a Klan club or something? I didn't know about this.
No, actually, I don't think we have a lot of racial problems at the school from what I hear from my two sons. You know, things of that nature don't seem to be going on. And I think from what I heard from my sons about the incident last fall, it was actually quite a misunderstanding that got sort of ginned up by the press. And, you know, the girl who was the alleged victim, you know, staged a walkout or something, I believe, the next day. So that's the only incident that I'm even aware of. And from reading about this Spirit program on the DOJ's website, it says that it has to be done at the request of the principal of the school. So that means that Maureen Keck herself had to interface with the Department of Justice and say, hey, I want you guys to come in and do this program at my school. And there wasn't any information given to the parents about this event at all. There was apparently some announcement made over the morning announcements to the children. And, you know, it said, hey, if you want to participate and you want to come on Monday, you can sign up for it. And then if they signed up, they were given a permission slip that had to be signed by the parent. But there was no school-wide email saying, here's what we're doing, here's what is involved, nothing like that. And when the inquiry was made as to whether or not parents could attend, we were told no.
So it's not a matter of you don't have to opt your child out because you almost opt your child in. So with the permission slip, is that correct? So a child can't attend without a parent knowing.
Right. Yeah. They wouldn't be able to attend without a parent knowing because they did require the permission slip to be signed by the parent. But, you know, if somebody wants to do a program with my child and they're going to send me the permission slip, don't they think it's a good idea to at least tell me what is the thing I'm signing my child up for beforehand and be very open and transparent about that, kind of given the nature of this and, you know, the state of relations right now between parents and the Department of Justice of all government entities? I mean, you know, it's kind of laughable. So I don't know what all the secrecy is about with this and why they weren't transparent at all. But it is alarming. And, you know, like I said, I don't know what the big race relations problem is that's going on that made Mrs. Keck feel like this was necessary to call for.
This is part of the Justice Department CRS, the Community Relations Service, and it's designed to, quote, help resolve and prevent racial and ethnic conflict, violence, and civil disorder, unquote. Now, this was set up as a part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So here we are over 50 years later. And I'm sorry, it seems to me that race relations has sort of resolved quite a bit from, you know, the Bull Connor Democrats trying to kill black protesters in the streets of the South from the mid-60s. Why is this even still a thing? And for God's sake, what's going on in Fairfax County schools that parents are to be kept out, Stacey Langton? And in some way, the Justice Department needs to step in and fix these civil rights era racial tensions?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mystery, isn't it? And I just don't know why it seems like the Department of Justice itself is focused on the wrong things at every possible opportunity. Last fall, they're targeting the parents and saying that parents need to be put under some sort of investigation or have a threat tag applied to their name if they dared to stand at a podium and speak at a school board meeting. Yeah. And now, you know, apparently race relations are a big problem and we've got to, you know, keep you guys out of the loop on that too. So I'm starting to wonder who's in charge, and is this all coming at the behest of Merrick Garland, or are there, you know, some other people involved in this agenda? You know, as we know, the White House had colluded with the Department of Justice in the issuing of that memo as parents being some sort of a domestic terror threat. So it's all just really overstepping, isn't it?
It is. And Stacey, usually a lot of there's a lot of money to be made in consulting on these issues with schools. Is there a consultant running this program, or is it actual officials from the department? I doubt it's Department of Justice officials, but have you been able to ascertain the consulting firm that's running this?
No, I don't know the answer to that. And I would suspect that there probably is a firm that has the contract for that sort of thing. I would have to, you know, issue a FOIA through the school board in order to find out that information. And I only just found out about this myself, you know, a week ago.
Gotcha.
So I don't know the answer to that yet.
Yeah. Oh, the one thing you do know about is the porn that the Fairfax County Public Schools is pushing on our kids through the library. I love that you pointed out that the Students' Rights and Responsibility workbook that every student must sign off on actually has a line item that says it's a punishable violation of the code if they post, distribute, display, or share inappropriate or obscene material or literature. So does that mean if they actually let their friend borrow their library book that has inappropriate, obscene material and literature, that that's a violation? I know you raised this with the school board. What did they say?
Yes, that's exactly correct. And I only just found out about that as well on Thursday morning as a result of doing an interview with Chrissy Clark at the Daily Caller for the DOJ story. Mm. We were looking at the document, the new proposed changes to the Students' Rights and Responsibilities Handbook. And right there on page 20, it says that it is a violation of the behavior code for a student to display, distribute, share, post pornographic, obscene, inappropriate literature or materials. And I thought, wow, are you kidding me? Like, wait a minute.
So Stacey, they could hold up some of those books with those images. They could just hold it up in class and they'd be in violation.
Yeah, your student could be suspended. but yet, if they'd like to go check it out at the library, they could go and do that because the board voted that they approve these materials for your child to have access to in the library.
Yeah, that's exactly what I meant. You could go check it out in the library, then go to class and hold it up, and you're essentially holding up porn.
And you're suspended.
Yeah, amazing.
Right.
Stacey Langton.
So the level of illogic, it's just stunning.
Of course
there's
it's
no
illogical
logic involved
because
here.
They're Marxists. Stacey Langton, follow her on Twitter. It's a very important Twitter account of a very important Fairfax mom who's following all this stuff, although sometimes some dirty pictures show up on her Twitter feed. But don't worry, it's just library
it's
books
fault.
From Fairfax County Public Schools. Thanks, Stacey. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks, Julie.
It is 8:15. Now WMAL trap really dirty pictures. She'll tag me. Sometimes she'll tag me on a tweet. And I'm like, I'm tagged on a tweet. And I click on it. I was like, whoa, I don't need to see that right now. I just ate.
News Talk 105.9.
WMAL.
Making sense of the news.
Kamala Harris yesterday had some remarks about climate and what we can do about the climate. You know what? As usual, let's just let the Vice President of the United States speak for herself.
That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action. With that, I thank you all. This is a matter of urgent priority for all of us, and I know we will work on this together.
Now, I have a theory about this. Did you pick up a theme in the remarks?
Working together.
Yes, there would be a lot of working together in that 30 seconds. Now, I have a theory.
Okay.
I think I'm giving way too much credit to Kamala Harris and her speechwriters, but I remember one morning on WMAL with a former incarnation of this program I was on with my on-air partner, Brian Wilson, and I made him a bet that I could say a word throughout the course of the morning a certain number of times, and every time he had to pay me. And I can't. And we did a montage later of all the times that I said, I can't remember what the word was, but it wasn't your typical word. But I was like, hey, I'm just gonna work this into the show today. And then the next day, we actually sort of like,
oh, that's funny.
So I'm guessing that's what happened here. Somebody made a bet. Somebody in the speechwriter's office made a bet and said, I bet I can get Kamala to say "work together" like seven times in a 30-second span. Let's just do this. Imagine somebody gets $100 for every "work together." Okay,
wow. That is especially true when it comes to the climate crisis, which is why we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together on to galvanize global action. With that, I thank you all. This is a matter of urgent priority for all of us, and I know we will work on this together.
There it is.
That should get one, too, yeah.
So that's five
that
right there, but it should have been six if you give the work. She said work with
us.
Oh, was it six?
It was
standalone?
Six, and it should have been seven.
That's impressive. In a 30-second span.
Yeah.
What do you think she noticed? These were written remarks.
I think, to be honest.
Do you think at some point it occurred to her?
I watched her face.
Yeah.
And I think halfway through when she said galvanized was when she was like, who wrote this crap?
By the way,
she does look kind of confused.
Galvanized in this context is a synonym for working together.
Yes. Yes.
It would have been great if it'd be, we need to work together and collaborate to galvanize.
Yeah. Yeah. For that last one, they're like, you know, seven is too many. Right. We're going to hit the thesaurus. I can't even say it.
The thesaurus.
The thesaurus.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And yeah, we'll stick galvanized in there.
That we will convene to work together on.
Convene is also a euphemism for work together, isn't it?
And to work together.
We're laughing, but it's terrifying,
this is
isn't
terrifying.
It?
I mean, Joe's not that better. Not that much better. It's just two idiots
together.
So you know the actor Jason Momoa, right?
Of course.
He was in that superhero movie.
Woman.
That superhero movie.
Aquaman.
Wet Thor. Yeah, that's the one. Thor underwater. It's
yes.
The same movie, right? With Amber Turd, by the way.
That's right. That's right.
You know, if she does in those movies, the Aquaman movies, what she did in Johnny Depp's bed, it will just float, right?
That's right. You can't
it's
smell
it. It's
just
a floaty. Just goes straight to the top of the surface. Anyway, Jason Momoa is in Italy filming some movie. I don't think it has anything to do with mermaids or anything
poop.
Like that. Or poop. Well, it may.
Might.
It might have poop. We don't know. And he put out a stunning picture. It's a beautiful picture on his Instagram. Did you see this? Of him standing in the Sistine Chapel. I guess they were visiting the Vatican. He's standing in front of the Sistine Chapel. It's just him alone in the chapel, which is kind of rare. If you've been to the Sistine Chapel, they like corral you in there.
It's annoying.
There's
like so many people.
It's so crowded.
Yeah.
But it's silent because it's a chapel and you're just there to contemplate. And he's sitting there staring at Da Vinci's Last Judgment. It's an incredible, incredible, you know, monumental work of art. And he tweeted that out, you know, sort of thanking Rome for their hospitality. And it's been great doing the movie here. Well, he got attacked people were screaming at him. He's like, you're not supposed to take pictures in there, which is true. You're not supposed to take pictures in there.
Right.
Why you look like that?
What did I look like?
Well, you just sort of gave me a,
I agree. Sorry. I have to.
You aren't
my
supposed
face.
To take pictures in the Sistine Chapel, Julie.
I
know. Julie.
I might have one. I might have one.
So you broke the rules.
I did. It was blurry, though.
Because it was like a secret picture, right?
It was a secret picture, yes.
Well, you're not supposed to take a picture.
Okay, so, Netflix sharer. Okay, we're both, thanks for outing me.
Well, you violated a rule of the Vatican, not Netflix.
True.
Anyway, the point is, he got I saw it as like, well, clearly he was given a private tour and they allowed him to take a picture. What's the problem with that? Well, he had to apologize.
It's my last day, Rome, and I just love you in Italy. We're in Tuscany. We were here filming. It's been the time of my life. I'm so happy to be working for Universal. And
like that he plugs the movie and his producers.
You know, obviously, Vin and the whole crew picking me.
Okay, so it's all
What's
echoey
he
and he's breathless. Yeah, so he's in a gym and he just finished his workout. And he's actually topless.
Yeah, that'll help. I'd forgive him. right away.
It's 8:29.
Now.
On News Talk 105.9 WMAL.
O'Connor and Company.
It's 8:37 right now, Julie Gunlock, and believe it or not, you're on O'Connor and Company.
I am.
How great is that?
That is great.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we're going to hand it off to the one and only Chris Plant, but between now and then, we've got much more to discuss, including our conversation now with Representative Kat Kamek of the great state of Florida.
Good morning. How are y'all doing?
Kamek. I'm good. How are you doing?
We are doing great and ready to start another busy week.
Well, I saw you taking to social media and you were responding to the current crisis having to do with the shortage of baby formula on our shelves. And it was remarkable to see the administration basically saying, well, you know, if we'd been mind readers, maybe we could do something about it, but we'll do everything we can. Meanwhile, they're shipping like pallets of baby formula to the border right now to help out people entering this country illegally. I don't want little babies to starve anywhere in the world, but it seems like a discordant policy, does it not?
Yeah, I mean, and that's what is absolutely outrageous about this whole thing is not once, not ever has anyone suggested that these babies at the border not be taken care of. But the thing that is also needing to be recognized is the fact that there is stockpiles to the tune of not just a supply room off of the, you know, off these processing facilities, but warehouses, plural, that are housing formula, diapers, clothing, flip-flops, cell phones, you name it, they've got it. And it is all because this administration has for months been stockpiling these supplies in anticipation for not just the surge they're dealing with, but the surge that's to come when Title 42 goes away, which they're expecting 18,000 a day. So it's really shameful that the White House has refused to acknowledge their role in this baby formula crisis. Mm. It was Biden's FDA that shut down the nation's largest manufacturer and had no plan in place to backfill that market share. So they need to own this, and we will hold them accountable.
Well, you know, with the stockpiling, it sounds like the biggest hoarders might be the Biden administration. Is there one thing that is common is there's no sort of accounting. Do they need that much baby formula? You know, they have the stockpiles. Are they using that much? Is it possible to release that back into the marketplace, some of it?
You know, from what I saw and from what I spoke with Border Patrol agents, you know, they have infants that they currently have in the processing facilities that will be turned over to HHS. And, I mean, I've heard a various number on that. It could be 200, it could be 1,000 infants that they're dealing with. But even with everything that they have at the border, even if we were to redistribute all of that, it wouldn't make up for the fact that the Biden administration has basically broken this market.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, the answer is not to take what is there for those children at the border. My answer is let's get that Michigan plant back up and running because the FDA, Biden's own FDA, said back in March that there was no connection between the bacteria found at the plant
right.
to the bacteria that ultimately tragically killed those two infants. And so knowing that there was no connection, knowing that that plant in Michigan had rectified everything that the FDA had pointed out, they've been sitting in limbo wondering when can we get back up and operating. And it's been radio silence from the administration.
What can
we
do?
They need to get back to manufacturing.
We saw Secretary Pete Buttigieg of the Transportation. Last I checked, he doesn't oversee FDA. But he was blaming Abbott for this,
yes.
The Abbott Pharmaceuticals plant that shut down. You're on the Agriculture Committee. You're also on Homeland Security. And I think this is a case for Homeland Security. What can we do? Why can we not mobilize something in oversight in Congress right now and get this thing going? Why is the FDA dragging their feet?
You know, that's the million-dollar question, is why is the FDA dragging their feet? When Biden said last week that he met with manufacturers and distributors, including Target, Walmart, Gerber, et cetera, why was Abbott not at that table? Why were they not a part of the conversation? You would think that if the White House was serious about this issue, they would bring all of the manufacturers to the table.
Well,
but they didn't.
They claim Abbott has said they want that plant open. They're waiting. It's the FDA that hasn't opened it yet.
Yes,
I mean,
that's 100% right.
Well, and I remember when Trump was president, they were all screaming that he hasn't used the Defense Authorization Act to manufacture more PPE and get things rolling. I mean, this is literally babies are not able to get their nutrition right now. Can we not mobilize the federal government to fix it?
We should. And what it's going to take, honestly, is getting government out of the way. I mean, you have a regulatory environment that is so caught up and wrapped up in red tape that you can't see straight. The White House has not made a move to ease tariffs on importing baby formula. Of course, you have a supply chain that is broken, and they want to blame everyone but themselves. They take no responsibility for anything. It's either Trump's fault or it's Putin's fault. That is what is so frustrating about this administration. They themselves are responsible for not having a plan in place.
Mm-hmm.
And then they are surprised and said, well, we can't be mind readers. How about just a little bit of common sense? You know what's crazy to me about this whole border situation and the baby formula situation? I'm standing there at the border yesterday after the White House and CNN and every other liberal media in the world said we were lying, that there wasn't stockpiles of baby formula at the border. So I went there yesterday to show them, yes, there in fact was. And as I'm standing there talking to Border Patrol agents, they say, yep, we've got more ordered, more is en route, we'll be unloading baby formula. But the crazy part is our own agents, you go a couple miles down the road to the Target, they can't get formula for their own kids.
This is unbelievable. This is unbelievable that is happening and that they're ordering more when there's a shortage. And, you know, I'm not sure I got that correct. You're saying that in these facilities, there are between 800 to 1,000 babies. It sounds like they have much more baby formula than they need. What is what is the timeline for this about getting, you know, when is that Abbott factory going to start up again? When is production going to start? I think that's the other thing people don't understand is, okay, fine, we got this problem. When's it going to end?
Well, that's the thing. The FDA needs to communicate with Abbott and give them the green light. Abbott has been ready and willing and able to produce, but the FDA is tied their hands up and refuses to even give them a sense of when they can go back up and running. But even when they get back up and running, keep in mind that it's going to take between 6 to 8 weeks for that production to hit shelves. I mean, 43% of the entire market share, that's a lot. And they're going to be working overtime to try to backfill that. But it all starts with the FDA actually communicating. But it's just indicative of this entire administration. They have no plan, no idea. It's the clown car administration. Nobody knows what's going on.
Representative Kat Kamik is one of the many great things coming out of the state of Florida these days. Thanks for joining us today. We'll have you back again soon.
Thanks so much. Have a great week.
Well, it's official. Jen Psaki is no longer the White House spokesperson. I mean,
so sad.
What exactly will Chris Plant talk about today? Kidding. Chris Plant has had a decades of career on this station prior to Jen Psaki, although it was a pretty dominant topic there on a regular basis. She did provide us a lot of material.
She did.
Yeah. She sort of went viral with a picture with Peter Ducey. Peter Ducey is a tall lad.
He is very tall.
Probably about 6'4", I'd say, maybe 6'3". Jen Psaki, not so much. She's vertically challenged.
Yeah.
She's sort of Lilliputian.
Yeah. She's what got do you a say? 5'5"?
Little
maybe?
Oompa Loompa look.
Too tiny.
She's actually the size of the actual Peppermint Patty. little third grader there on Peanuts. On May 5th, when she officially announced this, she and Ducey had a sweet little exchange.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Jen. Sorry to see you go.
Are you?
Which is really rude because
she's so rude.
I know. It's like he was never hostile to her.
Never.
He just did his job. She was the one who constantly threw attitude at him.
Yeah, she's terrible.
And let's not forget what she really thinks
about
him.
Before we go, I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
Because we have to talk about Peter Ducey for 1 second.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
Is he a stupid son of a or does he play a stupid son of a TV?
Okay. Well.
See, now the appropriate thing to do is say, excuse me, he's doing his job. He's a member of the media. He's not stupid at all. In fact, he's quite well informed.
Yeah.
And no, she didn't do
that. No, because she loves the applause.
Here she is on her final day.
People always ask me, and I'm sure you guys get asked this too, about whether Washington is rotten. You know, whether everybody is corrupt here and, you know, nothing good happens and we all just argue with each other. And I, having done this job, believe the absolute opposite is true because I have worked with and engaged with all of these incredible people across the administration and this amazing team, many of whom are here that I get to work with every day. And I, as I said about Corinne last week, these people are already the stars of the team, but they're going to be shining stars in the future, and I'll miss them a lot. Okay.
Love you guys. I said I wasn't going
to
cry.
You know why it's so great to work here? Because you're a leftist, okay? And the media leaves you alone.
Oh, are you leaves you alone? Are you kidding? They celebrate her.
They celebrate you, and you get your picture done, and you get these big fashion spreads.
Yeah.
And, of course, you love it here.
She got all teary and cried, by the way, which is another reason why women should just stay out of these jobs. Kidding. It's 8:52. All right, Julie Gundlach, we'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.
Have a great day.
I will.
You know who else is going to have a great day?
I think I know.
Everyone about to listen to Chris Plant.
Yeah.
A heck of a day. That's right. You know.
Yeah. Did you see
Kamala? Never mind tornadoes.
Kamala wants to work together.
She does want to work together. She's all about working together. That's why all those people in her office jumped out the windows. Into the Nets.
That's
because
right.
I think we lost count at 13 or something.
What happens when she wants to work together?
Yeah, she wants to work together. She just likes people.
You know? She is a people person.
That's the thing. I lost count of the number of pieces in the Washington Post today on the Buffalo incident.
Yeah, the
church in California, it's in the Digest. Gets the, it is. It's in the Digest. It gets the same amount of coverage as a man being killed by a Metro train yesterday. And, it's pretty amazing. And there are a couple of key elements, I'm sure you're aware of, that the so-called news media seems to be leaving out of the story. It's a very inconvenient story if you include these additional facts, like the mad killer racist anti-Semite hated Fox News because of all the Jews.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.